The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, this week in our series on disinformation, we're talking about Russia's misleading of itself on the success of its own disinformation campaigns, and also the Florida Surgeon General spreading vaccine misinformation again. We're joined by David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, How Flawed Logic Puts Us All at Risk. David, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, we know there are these troll factories and robotic influencers funded by Russia. What have they been up to and where have they led themselves astray?
Well, this is an interesting story. So we've talked on this segment before about agencies like the Social Design Agency, the SDA, who are outsourced by Russia to produce a lot of their disinformation. And one of their recent operations was called by Western media Doppelganger. And what they essentially did is they cloned websites. They made them look very similar to things like Bild or the Daily Mail or the Guardian. And they ran fake stories on them. And they bragged about this to their Russian paymasters, saying, we've done hundreds of thousands of these and it's fantastic. The problem is that Bavarian intelligence services have now analyzed a lot of these cloned websites and have found out that they got almost zero engagement in some cases, that they had put a lot of effort into this campaign, which not quite backfired, but certainly misled them about the effectiveness of their own campaign. And there's a lesson in this. We hear about disinformation. We think it's Machiavellian, and it is. But it's also they're not guaranteed to succeed. A lot of misinformation campaigns fail or sometimes cause harm to the people that put them out in the first place.
Now, these are called doppelganger campaigns. In other words, a double of the authentic original. And these go back in time.
Oh, they do. So there's historical attempts to this. Now, obviously, it's much easier in the era of social media and ChatGPT that I can clone a website and make it look similar. But Russia has a long history of doing this and has a long history of it backfiring as well. It's had successful disinformation campaigns, so we shouldn't dismiss how dangerous it can be. But one of their classic ones that backfired in a way that you mightn't predict, and I think we've mentioned it before, was Operation Infection in the 1980s. And this was an attempt when the AIDS crisis was hitting America to convince people that AIDS was a man-made virus created by Americans. And the propaganda they put out claimed, and they faked this, they pretended it came from an Indian newspaper, claiming that they'd found evidence that the American government had built this virus to kill people of color and people addicted to drugs and homosexuals. Now, of course, it was total nonsense. And it did cause a lot of consternation in the States when it first came out. The problem is AIDS was very, very real. And AIDS came to Russia about 2 years later. And when it did, they needed the help of American virologists who were quite a bit ahead in the research process. And one of the behind the back channel deals done was that American virologists would help their Russian counterparts with the caveat that Russia stopped talking this nonsense, which the Americans knew was coming from Russia. In 1991, they formally apologized for it after the collapse of the Soviet Union. But actually, this still had damage going on for much later. To this day, about half of African Americans still are suspicious about the origins of AIDS. They think that it might actually have been made in a lab. And when this AIDS denialism was adopted by Thabo Mbeki in South Africa, it had terrible consequences because they stopped using AZT and antiretroviral treatments, and it led to the preventable deaths of about 345,000 people. So the problem is, even if disinformation is disavowed and disbelieved, it's circulating out there, and it's very hard to reverse the consequences of that for people.
Mm. Now, there's another campaign which goes back to the heart of the Cold War, Operation Neptune. What was that about?
Oh, yes. So Operation Neptune was an early 1960s attempt by the proxies in East Germany, which was, of course, controlled by the Soviet Union, to try to embarrass German politicians. Now, these are German politicians who had nothing to do with World War II, had come up after it, and it was well after the denazification program. So what the Soviets did was basically buried a big chest somewhere in a river, which claimed to had fake documents, which purportedly linked all these prominent West German politicians to the Nazi Party. Now, falsely. So they did this thinking this would cause embarrassment and, you know, and consternation. Unfortunately, they weren't very good forgeries. And all that ended up doing was getting Khrushchev, a telling off at the UN. So if you're going to run a disinformation campaign, you've got to run it well.
Now, the problem is that some people who don't know where it's coming from, some people in authority in the Russian state may even believe the falsehood peddled by their own people.
Absolutely. And this has happened in the past. Again, the outsourced agencies that Russia used, like the SDA or the IRA, the Internet Research Agency in St. Petersburg, they have a vested interest in sometimes exaggerating the extent of their successes to their paymasters, to Putin and everyone else. But sometimes disinformation can backfire on the ground. There's a reason that in the Americans in the Cold War didn't use disinformation very often. They tried once in the 1960s in East Germany to run it, but it actually ended up confusing their own agents on the ground, because there's no official thing that separates disinformation from, you know, there's no clear designation. So they ended up confusing their own field agents. And there is a declassified report where they, from 1964, where they basically say, we're not going to try any of this. We're not very good at it. And it's causing confusion in the field. This has happened to some extent in Russia now, but it's more the exaggeration effect in this. The SDA have claimed, for example, that they cloned 24,100 build websites, but only about, they only got about 800,000 views. They had like a less than 1% click-through. So they've invested a huge amount of money in building these things, but really haven't got traffic to them. But it does show that, you know, disinformation peddlers, they're not omnipotent. They can't, they're not guaranteed to meddle with us, which is probably something we can take a bit of heart from.
Now we want to go to the United States and some disinformation there from someone who's got a title that would seem to lend legitimacy, and that is the Surgeon General in Florida.
The state judge, Surgeon General of Florida, yes. And this guy's come up a bit before with us. This is a man called Joseph Ladapo, or Ladapo, I think is the pronunciation of his name. He was appointed by Ron DeSantis to head up their public health sector, and he gets the lofty title of state Surgeon General, which is, of course, mustn't be confused with the real Surgeon General. The reason why he's a little bit, only five states have this in the US, by the way. But one of the things that's a bit strange about him is that he is openly and rabidly anti-vaccine. Now, in the past, for example, he has fabricated Florida state data, which showed that the vaccines were safe and effective. He has made his underlings manipulate that and change the outcomes to make it look like it might be harmful. And with the new COVID boosters, he's done this again. He's basically come out and said that these are untested and they might cause harm. These are standard anti-vaccine talking points, which are false. It's just a shame that you have someone in authority saying it. And the reason he was put in that position in the first place is that it is an ideological reason for it. Ron DeSantis, during the pandemic, ran on a platform of radical health freedom, a libertarian kind of idea that there should be no mandates, there should be no requirements to vaccinate, you know, go out there, do what you want. And the only scientific authority or someone who was qualified that he could find that echoed his viewpoint was Ladapo. So this is a really sad case of someone trying to just find someone that shares their opinion and putting them in a position of power.
And there are no mechanisms to shut someone like that up.
Well, you would think that there should never be a mechanism to appoint a person like that in the first place, except that we see in the States, and this is a great example of disinformation coming from an ideological perspective. This is motivated by this false conception that, you know, vaccines or restrictions are somehow anti-libertarian and anti-business. So therefore, they on principle disagree with them. So putting someone like Ladapo, even though he's, by the way, somewhat underqualified for the role, there's much more qualified medical people and serving politicians in the state of Florida, but he was the only one they could find that would say what the governor wanted him to say. So this is a case of finding your pet monkey and putting them into the position, you know, the guy who'll say whatever you want. And unfortunately, this has health consequences, because people do see this guy's in one way, he's got all these credentials, he's a medical doctor, he's gone to all these nice colleges and universities. People hear that and go, oh, there must be something to it. But he's directing people in his own department to fabricate data. This is a damning indictment of how the system works, because it should not work this way at all.
Well, don't forget, they elect all sorts of people locally in the United States.
Sheriffs as well,
sheriffs and judges and all the rest of it. David, thank you very much for joining us. David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, How Flawed Logic Puts Us All at Risk. Now, we'll stay in the States. Dr. Mark Chavez, one of two doctors charged in connection with the 2023 death of Friends actor Matthew Perry, has pleaded guilty to charges related to the overdose death of the actor. Prosecutors offered lesser charges to Chavez in exchange for cooperation, but he still faces up to 10 years in prison upon his sentencing. This report from ABC News.
One of two doctors charged in the death of actor Matthew Perry pleading guilty to illegally distributing ketamine, the drug that ultimately killed the Friends star. Nearly a year after Perry was found dead from a ketamine overdose in his hot tub, Dr. Mark Chavez admitting to his role, telling a judge he wrote fraudulent prescriptions and transferred 22 vials of ketamine to be given to Perry in the weeks before his death.
He is incredibly remorseful what happened, not just because it happened to Matthew Perry, but because it happened to a patient. He is trying to do everything in his power to right the wrong that happened here.
Prosecutors now building their case against Dr. Salvador Plasencia and Jasveen Sangha, an accused drug dealer known as the Ketamine Queen. Plasencia allegedly bought the drugs from Dr. Chavez. In one text about how much to charge Perry, Plasencia wrote, "I wonder how much this moron will pay."
In the end, these defendants were more interested in profiting off Mr. Perry than caring for his well-being.
Chavez is the third person to plead guilty, including Perry's assistant, who has admitted to injecting him with that fatal dose of ketamine.
And David Chavez faces up to 10 years in prison. He has surrendered his medical license. The other two suspects have pleaded not guilty, and their trial starts in March.
And that's a classic example of the plea deal and how it operates in the United States. Dr. Mark Chavez cooperating and will probably help to convict the others. That report.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.